So last week we started a brand new series called The Logic of the Cross, and it's all about the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the Bible. And Pastor Dave did both of the messages last Sunday, and if you weren't here, I encourage you to go grab them off the podcast. Amazing messages, giving us a great overview of the book of Hebrews and everything it's all about and what this series is going to be about. We're going to, for the whole of the month of August, we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews shows us how Jesus is greater than anything that has ever gone before. It's one of the only books in the New Testament that shows us links between the Old Testament and the New Testament and how Jesus runs throughout the entirety of Scripture. And it was written to Jewish people around 2,000 years ago. And we have to apply our minds and our thinking to our faith, is what it's talking about. We have to apply our minds and our thinking to our faith. And don't give up on your faith is one of the key messages that comes across in Hebrews. It's one of those key themes running throughout the whole of the book. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, in the ESV, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In the Amplified translation, I absolutely love this. It's going to come up on the screen. It says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." I love that description of what faith is. The proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith is believing in something with every fiber of your being. And it isn't just simple optimism or hoping that everything's going to turn out okay in the end. It's much, much deeper than that. It's not about abandoning thought or blindly following something without seriously considering it. In the book of Peter, it tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us for the reason, the hope that is in us. We're supposed to think about these things. More than just believing that Jesus was a historical figure, which most historians and historical texts agree on. Because living life as a Christian is about living because of the things we know from the Bible and because of what we know Jesus has done for us in setting us free on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, it says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." And living by faith is the life of a Christian. It should be our default setting on how to live. We live because of that hope given to us, and we live for a hope that we can't grasp fully with our human understanding. Faith is the beginning, the middle, and the end of how we go about this life. We're saved by God in the beginning. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Our journey starts there when we put our faith in God and our trust in God. We have faith in God on the journey. We believe him for breakthrough, miracles, provision, things we don't have control over. And then we live by faith that there's something greater after this life. Our faith gives us that assurance and hope of heaven. Because of what Jesus did, we have a life that's coming after this one. And it underlines our whole lives as Christians from the moment we even consider having that relationship with Jesus. So I'm just going to pray and then we're going to get straight into it. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that every single time that the word is preached, that you move in power. And God, I pray that you would move through me right now, that the Holy Spirit is here. God, that it would be active, it would be moving, it would be speaking into people's lives in a way that no one and no thing else can do. Jesus, we give you all glory and all honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to start with number one. What is faith? What is faith? And we're going to turn, if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to Hebrews 10. And we're going to look at Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 39. If you don't have your Bible, you can lean across to somebody else or it'll pop up on the screen behind me. Shout, "Got it," when you got it. Not got it. Who said not got it? Amy. Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 39. Right, I'm going to start reading. So, verse 19. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days. After you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you yourself accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. What an amazing passage. It's full of so much richness. And the author of Hebrews here is trying to stir up our faith in these passages by explaining the simplicity of our nature with God. And I love these verses because whenever I come to study them, whether it's preparing for a message like this or in my time with God, I'm encouraged again and again not to overcomplicate my approach to my relationship with God. If we look at it verse by verse and just break it down a little bit, verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brother, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus," we have full freedom and full confidence to enter the Holy of Holies, the presence of God himself, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Verse 20, "by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is his flesh." This exists because of the relationship that Jesus has restored for us between us and God, and because of what he did on the cross. Verses 21 and 22, "Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and with our bodies washed with pure water." We can be assured, we can be confident, we can trust in what God has done for us, and that we can enter into his presence. We have to come humbly. We have to say sorry for the things that we've done. Verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful." We have to be sure of what we believe and believe it with all of our being, unwavering in both in good and bad times. Do you see what he's trying to get across, the writer? He's trying to get across that we have this relationship with God that is so open, so fresh, so restored because of what Jesus did. And our faith gives us full confidence to enter into the presence of God. I love this idea. I love reading that scripture because every single time I come to meet with Jesus, every single time I pray, I say that. I say, "Thank you that the way is open, that I can enter into your presence with boldness and confidence." In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12, it says, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold." And we can have that boldness. We can have that confidence to enter into the presence of God. There shouldn't be anything holding us back from it. We have to acknowledge that we've done things wrong and we have to say sorry for them. And by faith, we can come to him in absolute conviction that we are not polluted by the effects of sin. We're called to live a life of faith because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. In verses 19 to 25, it's all about how we should draw near, the reasons we should live that life of faith, that confidence to enter the presence, that stirring up one another's faith with love and good works. And then verses 25 to 39, it's all the reasons we shouldn't use our faith as an excuse for anything. Faith doesn't mean we can live how we want and expect it to be covered. We can't go on sinning deliberately when we receive the knowledge of truth. And living a life of faith in the hard times is exactly what our faith is for. And I love these passages, and there's so much wisdom and faith stirring going on here, but there's always something I come back to in verse 22. Verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." A full assurance of faith is the thing that I always come back to. What does a full assurance of faith look like? Verse 22 in the Amplified defines it like this. by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. That's amazing. Leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. What a powerful image that is, that we can rely on God with everything that we are, our entire human personality. And for me, that leaning of our entire human personality is something I've had to do with us moving to the Northeast. We have no idea what it's going to look like in the future. Only God knows what it's going to look like. We're going to do incredible things that we believe God has called us to do. We're going to try the hardest that we can. And sometimes it's a struggle when we think about it too much. We go into these situations and we think, I have no idea what God is going to do. But we turn up and we work hard and we do it anyway. I was thinking about it. There's no big document that I can pull out called The Life and Times of Rick Butterfield and flip to the page that says the 14th of August, 2016. And it says, oh, he's preaching this morning. He's going to have a roast dinner this lunchtime. They're going to drive back to the Northeast. There's nothing that just lays out what my life is going to be like. I can't flip ahead and see, you know, what it's going to be like in 6 months' time. What challenges am I going to be facing? But if I had something like that, that would not be faith. That wouldn't be faith. Faith is trusting in God for provision. Faith is believing in what God has planned for the future. Faith is going when others won't. Faith is going wherever God is. And it's not based solely on emotion. It's not based solely on something we can fully reason out in our minds, because we'll never manage it. But living a life that says, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. Do these things give us a full assurance of faith? In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus says this. He says, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Our faith can be so small and insignificant in comparison to anything else, but have so much potential. Does anybody actually know how big a mustard seed is? We've got some people doing little things like that. The smallest a mustard seed can be, if anybody's got a pen, grab a pen. And just, if you hold out your palm and just put a little dot in the middle of your palm like that. Just spin it around a few times. It's not really made a mark on my hand. There we go. That's about how small a mustard seed can get. The incredible amount of potential in that mustard seed, when you just stand there, you think about it. That's what Jesus is talking about, that something so small, so little, can have so much potential. And I love that, because on those one mustard seed days, on those days where we don't feel like we have a lot of faith, we can know and believe that God is there for us just as much as the days where it feels like we've got thousands, tens of thousands of mustard seeds of faith. Our full assurance of faith is just as big on those one mustard seed days. Number two is this: faith and works. Faith and works. Now, this is something that people have tried to reconcile together for years about how, you know, can we just live by faith alone? We can't live just by works alone. And if you turn to James 2, we're going to look at James 2, verses 14 to 22. And it says this: what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. There's some intense truth in that passage. Even the demons believe in God. I love that line. But verse 18 says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And James, the author, is trying to get across that there is a link between what we believe and what we do. There's faith, there believing in the unseen, the unknown, the future promises that God has for us, and works, doing things for God, loving people, serving people. And the question James is trying to answer here is, how do the two work together? You can't do both nothing and everything. But the balance is simply believing in faith for, the balance is between simply believing in faith for God to do something and doing so much that you're basically trying to be God or replace him. What James is saying is the two are closely linked together. One leads to the other. Our faith is expressed through our works. Our faith should stir us up to want to do something, to make a difference, to love God, to love life, and to love people. Because of what God did for us, we are called to live differently and to love and serve others through actions that bring glory to God. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works, it says in verse 18. If you say you believe, then do something about it. The two can be separate, but that's not how it's supposed to be. For example, if faith is our voice, then works are the words that we speak. If faith is our voice, then works are the words that we speak. Faith expressed first and foremost through what we do. And there's a fight. There's a fight that goes on in the Christian life. There's effort and earnestness. Laziness and sluggishness are not the way to live. And the direct focus of the fight is not first on serving or first working or first on patient endurance. The direct focus of the fight is to maintain that full assurance of hope. And the rest results from that. And this is something that I can struggle with sometimes. Naturally, I'm a doer. I love doing things. I love being busy. I love being active. If ever we go on holiday, Challen is the one that's happy to lay by the pool or lay on the beach all day. I'm the one that has to be going around seeing the sights, exploring ruins, things like that. And sometimes it can be dangerous for me to simply do things in my relationship with God because I can almost replace my relationship with God by doing things. If I'm saying I'm worshiping God by drumming, that doesn't negate the need for me to have my time with God, have my quiet time. Me preparing for this message is separate to my quiet time. This is not my quiet time with God. This is something different. I'm spending time with God. I'm hearing what he wants for me to say to the church, but not just because I'm doing something, because I'm preparing something. These things should happen in our lives because of the faith that we have. The faith is the why behind everything. We are not saved by works, but what we do is the evidence of our faith. Hebrews 10 verse 26 says, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. And what the author's trying to say here is we can't live our lives differently to the faith that we claim to have. We can't live our lives saying, I believe in God, but our actions are showing something entirely different. I think Pastor Dave did an amazing job last Sunday night of challenging us on some things. As Christians, we should be living differently to the rest of the world. And he challenged us, like, what things are we watching? What things are we listening to? What things are creeping into our language? What habits are starting to form that we need to be aware of? I was so challenged by his message, so I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. Because our lives should reflect the fact that we're saved and called by God, and not that we're trying to impress him or in trying to impress anyone else by doing things that look or sound great or are the current in thing to do. Our faith should cause us not to live static. We want to learn more about God. We want to grow. We want to seek a better understanding of God by working out what this faith journey means for us. Faith is supposed to be the thing that propels us to take steps on our journey, not what we expect to find when we get there. It's the thing that encourages us to start that journey and continue that journey, not what we expect to find when we get there, if we ever do get there. Number three is this: faith produces perseverance. Faith produces perseverance. Throughout the Bible, there are countless stories of people who lived out their faith through trials in their life, some of them in seemingly crazy or impossible circumstances. You've got somebody like Noah. Noah experienced rejection because he was different. And he obeyed God. God told him to build an ark in the middle of one of the driest deserts in the known world at the time. And his obedience made other disobedience stand out. And if God asks you to something, he will provide you with everything needed to complete the task. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on that direction from God. Abraham, he lived his life full of faith, believing in God. He left his home and went to another land. And Abraham was able to do this because he kept his eye on the unseen promises from God. He was willing to sacrifice his own son. Sarah, Abraham's wife, left her home and went to another land. She laughed at first at the news that she would have a baby, but then she believed. And sometimes we just need to take those steps of faith to believe that every single time God will come through. Every step means that our faith increases because we see more and more clearly what God is capable of doing. Last Sunday, our Northeast team were hanging out. We were catching up. I was doing some teaching. We were just figuring out what we're going to do with the rest of this month and into September and October. And we ended up on talking about how we all got to that point, how we all got to there, what God had done to take us from all the different points to get us to living in the Northeast of England, ready to start a brand new campus for Valley Church. And it was really interesting to hear how God spoke to some of us on the same day, at the same time, about moving to the Northeast, which I didn't know before. God spoke to both me and Pete Sharp on the same day, at the same time, about moving to the Northeast. That's incredible. And it was interesting to hear other people's understanding of how I got to where I am. Because sometimes I don't think you can see it properly from your own point of view. You can see it better if other people explain things to you or show you things that you didn't realize. When we moved to the Northeast at the beginning of July, that was a huge step of faith for me and Chal. I never thought I'd leave Preston. I thought I was going to live in Preston for the rest of my life. I lived in the same house for 24 years minus 6 months or so. Like, I never thought I would leave this city. We went up one Friday in June to look at houses, where we actually found the house that we're living in now. And I got a phone call on the way up there to say that I had been offered a job interview in the gap right between looking at houses. It's the only interview I had in the Northeast, and that's the job I was offered. I was offered it. I turned it down at first for a few different reasons and then rang them back up a few days later and said, look, I've been thinking about this. I want to change my mind. You know, I hope they've not offered it to somebody else. And my recruitment agent said on the phone, no, they left it on the table because they wanted you. Before that, I took a big leap of faith in starting Valley Academy. It was an incredible year of my life. You know, me and Chal spent some time doing Valley Academy along with a couple other people. And I took a big leap of faith in starting that. I gave up my job at the time with no assurance of any other job coming up to study here 2 days a week. And just as if by magic, I ended up getting a job that was 3 days a week that fit in perfectly with the schedule for Valley Academy. Years ago, when we first started Valley Church, when it was Ribble Valley Church, I decided to give up everything I knew and be part of the team here that started. I was going to Fullwood Free Methodist Church in the north of Preston, where our senior pastors, Ed and Michelle, they were the youth pastors at the time. And I left everything and everyone, not knowing anyone here all that well. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, but at the time, that just felt like the right thing I had to do. And all these things have added to my faith. When I look back on all of them, I see how God has taken me from place to place. And there has always been an answer to my prayer. There has always been a support. There has always been God coming through at the right time in the right way. Hold on to your faith. Look back on these things and go, of course God has got this in hand. Of course he has. God will come through and stretch your faith at every chance you let him. Sit back and think about all the things that God has done in your life. Maybe you're new to faith. Maybe you are just exploring faith and haven't had anything like this happen yet. Ask your friends, talk to the people you sat with this morning about what God has done in their lives and be encouraged. God is for us. And each one of these steps of faith has produced perseverance in my life. When I see an obstacle coming up in front of me, I look back at all the other things, all the other walls I've broken through, all the other things that I've broken down, all the other things God has taken me through. And I run head first, knowing that God is going to get me through it. Not around it, not over it, not under it. There's no way to avoid these things, but you've got to run head first at them. And just a heads up, things aren't always going to be easy. Behind those stories I told before, there are countless heated discussions with Chalon, phone calls to wise people, asking them for advice and input, time spent praying, seeking God, tears, laughter. We can't enter into something like this lightly. We have to hold firm to the faith that we say we have and stop relying on our own efforts to please God. In Hebrews 11, there's a whole chapter that's sometimes called the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame. And it's those who are commended for the faith they showed. In Hebrews 11, verse 4, it's coming in Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. Noah, in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God and concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness. Verses 17 to 19 talk about Abraham. Abraham was tested, offered up Isaac, who he had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his only son. Moses and the people of Israel, verses 24 to 29. I love this one. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood. 29, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do so, the same were drowned. And I believe that we can add ourselves in here. By faith, you made that move nobody else believed you could. By faith, you got that job that God has called you to. By faith, God removed that anxiety, that depression in your life. By faith, God healed that terminal illness that the doctors told you would only give you months to live. By faith, you saw your lost son or daughter come back to God after years of praying for them. By faith, you saw a child born when you were told you couldn't have one. By faith, they believed for those new church locations to grow and thrive in the cities and towns that were declared church planting graveyards. Persevere. Hold fast to your faith. Faith takes perseverance, but it also produces perseverance. Sometimes it will take all that we have within us to not turn and run in the other direction, away from what God has called us to not face the giant that's in our path. But remember the words it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. All these heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 believed and persevered in what they could not see to see God come through. They saw the promised land on the other side of the trial. In Numbers 13, one of my favorite parts of the Bible, 12 spies were sent out into the promised land to explore, to scout out and see if they could take the land. They had to go and see what the people were like. They had to go and see what the land was like. I love it. Numbers 13, verse 30 in the message. Caleb comes back and he says, Caleb interrupted, called for silence before Moses and said, let's go up and take the land now. We can do it. We can do it. I love that kind of faith. It sees through all the human things that are on the sidelines and puts God at its focus, front and center. In their stories, we see the hardships. We see the trials. We see Moses not being able to speak well. We see Noah being ridiculed for building an ark in one of the driest places on earth. We see the people of Israel wandering around the wilderness, disobeying God, trying to do their own thing. Not everyone will have to see the trials, but make sure everyone sees the success given to you by God and give him glory for it. And don't let these struggles put you off from following God's call on your life, believing in faith for what he can and will do in and through you. Jack, why don't you come up and just play the keys as we're coming into close. Number four, the final one is this. Faith draws us to God. Faith draws us to God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith is it impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We can't fully draw near to God without first having faith in who he is and what he's done for us. In James 4 verse 8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And that verse is so much more about us than it is about God. We have to choose to draw near to God. When we draw near to God, he is already there. And he sent the Holy Spirit to help us enter into that relationship with him. We have confidence and boldness to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10 verse 19. We have confidence and boldness to enter the holy places. And this morning, I really do believe that you can have confidence to enter into the holy places, into the very presence of God, because of what Jesus did for each and every single one of us. There's one way to start on a faith journey and enter into a relationship with Jesus, and that is believing and confessing that he is God. Like it says in Romans 10 verse 9, If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's it. You don't have to do anything. You just have to believe. Works can't save you. Only faith can. And that faith then leads to good works in your life to honor Jesus. What you do, the life you live, is a response to what God has done, but there has to be that relationship there first. We can't win our way to God. And on the flip side, we can never repay him for what he's done for us by working and working and working. Ephesians 2 verse 8, you have been saved by grace, you have been saved through faith. Verse 9, this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. By grace, we have been saved by faith. And the grace of God exists that we can be saved through a simple act of believing. That small mustard seed of faith that says, I might not know exactly what I'm getting myself in for right now, but chooses to believe anyway. At the beginning, I read Hebrews 11 verse 1. The proof of things that we do not see and the conviction of their reality. In the King James Version, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith brings substance to the things that we hope for and believe in. And we have to know that we know that we know that we know what we believe in and be sure and confident in it.